That's one part of a newspaper I never read. Of course, there are a lot of parts I guess I literally don't pay much attention to, but there's one part, and that's the section that tells about the birth announcements. Mr. and Mrs. Proud Parents, you know, had a bright, bouncing baby boy. I sort of say, well, big deal. You know, it happens every day. Why should I get excited about Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so having a baby bouncing boy? When Joseph asked the innkeeper in Bethlehem for a room, you know, he knocked on the door and the guy came and the hotel was full up, especially for those of Joseph's status. Joseph and Mary were very poor. Very poor. And when they came to the door, I don't imagine they were dressed too presentable on an old donkey. And he looked them over and probably had they had on crowns and jewels and fine robes, I imagine he would have found a room for me. But they weren't dressed too appropriately for his clientele, and so he just said, I don't have a room for you. Your kind, put it that way. And Joseph said, well, my wife is with child. And I imagine the innkeeper said, well, big deal. A lot of women are with children right now. Why tell me? Why should I get excited? That's your problem, buddy, not mine. There's nothing special about women having babies, fella. Now, there's a barn out behind. If you want to put her out there, all right. But there's nothing special about women having babies. They all do it once in a while, you know, if they get married. And I guess to many people, Christmas never calls to mind that there was one thing super special about one baby boy that was born unlike any other child throughout the whole world in all of history. One thing about this baby was different. Now, I know every mother and daddy thinks, oh, my child is it. You know, it's got something different than no other child. But this really did. You know, there wasn't anything. This one really had something different. And there were special steps taken to make Jesus a special kind of baby. He was the original, so to speak, as far as babies go in one category. None had ever been born like him since Adam was created, and none will ever be born like him, a baby. And as we look at the various types of uniqueness about Jesus, all these things tell us something different about Jesus than is different from men. But as we look at the uniqueness of Jesus one more time, we find our next symbol in Luke 1:35. So if you have your Bible there, turn with me, Luke 1:35. Read with me, if you will, what it says. And the angel answered and said unto Mary, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the High shall overshadow you. Therefore, that holy child which shall be born to thee shall be called the Son of God. Now, various translations render this differently. One says the holy thing, another the holy child, another the holy one, another the holy offspring. But they all mean in and about the very same thing, implying the baby was holy. Now, I hear people talk about their children, about their little babies, and they say, isn't it a big child, or isn't it a pretty child, or isn't it a bright child, or a smart child, or a strong child, or a sweet child? But I've never heard any parent say, isn't it a holy child? Never have I heard parents say that. I've heard some say it's a holy terror, but never it's a holy delight. I've never heard an expression. Only one baby was ever called holy. I wouldn't know how to recognize a holy baby. I've never seen one. Not even Eve, the first mother, knew anything about a holy child. The first baby she had was Cain. He wasn't too holy. Killed his brother Abel later on in life, and I figure he had those same traits all during his early childhood. One author said that Mary was probably the happiest mother that ever lived because she carried around with her the best child that was ever born. Well, she had at least six other children. We read this in Matthew 13, 55 and 56. I'll not read it, but she had at least six. She had four sons and daughters. We know she had at least two to call them plural daughters. She may have had a lot more. But I would imagine there was a tremendous contrast between Jesus, the oldest, and all the other half-brothers and sisters. A tremendous contrast. They were just like our children, all the others. I wondered if you'd really jump for joy if you had a holy baby. They grew into a holy child. You know, if a child was real holy, he would probably be a constant reminder to you of all your faults. All the things that you do wrong, he would never do wrong. All the mistakes that you make, morally speaking, he'd never make a one of them. He would be a constant sort of finger pointer at you, and that would make you a real uneasy with a holy child. He would know right and wrong in every instance when even you wouldn't know. How do you talk with a holy child? He'd be scared to open your mouth. How do you walk with one? How do you play with one? When a person is perfect, what do you know what to do with it? I say this, you'd never tell a holy child when they answer the phone and you're at home, tell them daddy's not here. Boy, you wouldn't tell a holy child that. Holy child will say, daddy said, tell you, I'm not here, you're not here. Now, a holy child's going to be holy come what may. You know, that's the thing about a holy child. And probably it will become one of the most frustrating experiences in all the world and one of the most difficulties to deal with a holy child that would refuse to sin. And this holy child, Jesus, when he was grown, they crucified him. And you know what they crucified him for? He was too holy for his own good. He went around telling the people that they were not holy. And they said, we're tired of listening to this. And they crucified him because he stirred them up and condemned them by his own holy living and his own holy nature. And you and I can't produce a holy child. And you may have the sweetest little baby you've ever seen, but you can't produce a holy child. There is no way in the world that a man and a woman can produce a holy child. Look at Psalms 58:3. Now, I'll just read you what the Bible says. I'm not picking on anybody in here. We're all children of somebody. But I guarantee you none of us were holy children. You still are. 58:3. The wicked. Well, that includes everybody at one time and living their life. The wicked are estranged from the womb. Or I might interpret this, the wicked are strangers to holiness from the minute they're born. They go astray just as soon as they are born. And they're really gifted at speaking lies. I think the first sin that ever shows up in an unholy child is lying. And they tell you they're hungry when they're really not. They begin to cry and you pick them up and you try to feed them and they don't want it. I find that a child is not long in this world until he's a headache. He's a problem. And much of the problem he creates himself because he's mad. He's not getting his way. They all get red in the face, and that's not because of bad complexion. It's because they're getting mad. They're short-tempered. They're spoiled. They want attention. They're selfish. They're inconsiderate. They're born that way. I'm not picking on babies. They're born that way. Every one of them's that way. You don't have to teach a baby to lie, a child to lie. He'll learn it on his own. It's just by nature he'll do this. I didn't teach my children to lie, but they'll do it. Where do they get it? It comes by nature. They're born that way. Look at Psalms 51:5. Now, I'm not making these verses up there in your Bible. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Not that she committed a sin when this happened, but the point is, The person's nature was sinful when they were conceived. You don't have a holy child that becomes bad. You're born bad. Just born bad. Some are worse than others. You can constrain children, but they still basically have to be constrained. Now, I think John asked an interesting question. Job asked an interesting question. And it's found in Job 14:4. Let's back up one book from Psalm. Job 14:4. He asked an interesting question. And then, looking at it from man's viewpoint, gives the obvious answer. He answers his own question. 14:4. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing? Man being unclean, unholy, cannot bring forth a holy thing. That's Job's logic. And he says to his question, who can do this? Not one. Not one. Now what man cannot do, God did do. And he did it when Jesus was born. God brought a clean thing out of an unclean thing. Now when Mary asked how she was going to give birth to such a child as a holy child, she knew that was impossible. She was not a holy child. Mary had her faults like any other woman of her day. But God just decided to choose her to bear his son. Now, when Mary asked how she was going to give this birth to such a holy child, an angel gave her an answer. Look at Luke 1:37. How can this be? You ask the impossible when you ask a woman to produce a holy child. Luke 1:37. With God, nothing's impossible. That pretty well ruled old Mary out. That ruled out a man, too. With God, nothing is impossible. All we say here is that the making of a holy child takes a special kind of birth. It just takes a kind of birth that man can't produce. And that's what makes the birth of Jesus a miracle. Really. You and I can produce a child, but we can't produce a holy child. For if we could, we would produce the miracle of all time. And it's for this reason that the word virgin plays such a tremendous role regarding Mary. Please bear with me this morning, and I hope that you understand the real meaning behind the word virgin in dealing with this question of the birth of a holy child. Look at verses 26 and 27 of Luke 1. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, who was of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now we're told twice that she was a virgin. And when the angel came to Mary and told her of the soon coming birth of a baby boy to her, and said that it was going to be a holy child, Mary got afraid. She got upset to the point that the angel had to calm her down in verse 30, and the angel said, "Fear not, Mary. Don't get all upset, for thou hast found favor with God." God's going to put a favor on you. Going to make something out of you that no other woman will have the privilege of doing. But she got all upset when she was told about God's plans to give her a baby. She didn't want a baby. Not at this point in life. And you have to understand that. What was she afraid of? What made her get afraid? Look at verse 34. Then Mary said, "How can this thing be? I'm not married." Now, how would you, women that have been married, been told by an angel you're going to have a baby? Man, that would set you on your ears, you know. Even if it is going to come from God, what unmarried woman wants a baby? You know, she was not married. She was engaged. How long was that engagement going to last? And Joseph almost busted it wide open, too. He wasn't going to have any of that stuff. All right, now. Think with me about Mary. If what the angel said is true, he was asking her to commit immorality. In her mind, for her to get a baby, they came but one way. And the angel was asking her to commit a sin to produce a holy child. That didn't make any sense. He was asking her to break the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery. How could such a thing be? No wonder she got upset. That's not the least problem, because the Jewish law said if a woman has a baby and she's not married, she is to be stoned, her and the father, to death. To death. When she was told she was going to have a baby, I mean, it's on her mind, man, if they find this out, I'll be killed. They'll stone me to death. That was Hebrew law. And the angel asked me to commit a sin and expose my life to death? Something's got to be wrong here. And how could you ever call a child a holy child of all things born under circumstances like this? Now that didn't make sense. Now Mary was not sinless. She was not holy like Christ. She was not born a holy child. She probably had her faults just like anybody else has got. Some good and some bad. But there was one sin she had not committed. And that was the sin of fornication or adultery and immorality. She had not broken that one. She may have lied a few hundred times, and she may have taken some things that didn't belong to her. She may have sinned in many ways, but she hadn't done that thing yet. She wasn't sinless, but she hadn't broken that law of the Lord. She claimed herself, I am still a virgin. And the angel said, I agree with you, you are a virgin. There's no question about it. So you have two authentic voices. Number one, Mary says, I am not immoral. And the angel said, I agree with you, I know you're not. But you're going to still have a baby. Now that didn't make any sense to Mary. But you see, not liberals or biblical critics were the first to criticize the virgin birth. Mary was the first one to criticize it. Not criticize it, but question it. She said, how can this be? It doesn't make sense. Now the second person to question the miracle was, you might know who, Joseph. He was the second one to question this mighty feat of God. And to say the least, according to the Bible, he was fairly shocked. And grieved and quite worried, really, to be honest with you. And his reaction to what had been told him by the angel was proof that he was not the father. If she was going to have a child, he was not the father. Mary said, there is no father. And Joseph said, well, I know I'm not the father. So you still got from Joseph's lips the proof that she was a virgin. Still, even by Joseph's declaration, she was that. And so Joseph, to protect her life, just thought that he'd break off the engagement number one and just sort of be quiet about all the rest of it. If the word got out, and that's why nobody ever talked about the birth of Jesus in the New Testament, I believe, because the people would have stoned Mary to death. If the Jews had gotten wind of this, and I don't believe she even told her own children this. Mary didn't. Because if the word would have gotten out, they could have killed Mary. Really? Because they never believed she didn't have a father or husband. Never would have believed. And so it had to be kept quiet. And so Joseph was just going to cooperate. And said, I won't do anything to get her life taken from her. Now, the angel, Mary left this in the angel's hands. You know, if a woman come to you and say, well, it's of the Lord, you wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe it. And so she wasn't going to tell Joseph all about what the angel told her. Let the angel go tell him. Because if the angel couldn't convince him, she sure could. All right, Matthew 1:20. But while Joseph thought on these things, behold, he thought about the problems involved in all this. While he was thinking about what he was going to do with Mary, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is not man-produced. It's produced by the Holy Spirit. Now, Joseph don't understand that. I don't understand that. No medical doctor understands that. Mary didn't understand that. Nobody understands it. I do not know how it was done. And she shall bring forth the son. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God is now with us. That comes from Isaiah 7:14. One of the Old Testament prophets told the Jews, there will come a day when God will send you that Messiah you've been looking for all these years. And the way you'll know the Messiah has come, one of the ways, is that he's going to be born in a unique way. He's going to be born of a virgin. Now the Jews knew that. And they still know that. And so when Jesus was born, it just fulfilled Isaiah the 7th chapter and the 14th verse. Now some people say, well, that word virgin in Isaiah just means young woman. Well, now I can't quite buy that. That doesn't make any sense. How can this be a sign of prophecy to say that when a young woman bears a child, then you know the Messiah's come? To my recollection, most every baby born is born to a young woman. There's no sign in that to look for. But the only thing unique about the birth of Jesus was he was born to a woman that was a virgin. Now that's what Isaiah said to look for. Now the angel was simply saying to Mary, the baby is going to come about in a way that you have no understanding of. It's going to be something that you don't understand. Look if you will at Luke 1, 34 and 35. Mary asked the question, How shall this be? How can I have this child, seeing that I know no man? I'm not married. I'm not immoral. And the angel said unto her, here's how it's going to work. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you, and somehow, by some means, there will be a miracle wrought in your body. And therefore, that holy thing will be born of thee. Alright. The holy thing is a result of the miraculous working of the Holy Spirit. Now, I lost my place, y'all bear with me. Okay, the birth of any child requires nature to take its course. And as a result of that, you don't have a miracle. There's no miracle involved in the birth of a child every day in the hospital or wherever it might be. And I guess you might say that Joseph in this story was nothing more than a foster father. That's about all you could say about him. But there was more reason for this virgin birth mentioned in the Bible than just to be a sign that the Messiah had come. There was a much more important reason for it than that. And I hope that I don't lose you now. Let's keep facts straight in our minds. Though this birth was unnatural, it was still holy. It produced a holy child. And the second, though this birth was unnatural, it was absolutely necessary if Jesus was to be the Redeemer spoken of in the 21st verse of Matthew 1. Notice why Jesus was born. And he shall bring forth a son, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save people from sin. Now that was the purpose of the special birth. Now the man Adam, when God first made him in the garden, was given the holy image. I believe the holy image like Jesus had. He was a holy thing. No sin. Until Adam sinned, he was a holy thing. After that, He became a sinful thing. After that, Adam's nature changed, and no longer did he have a divine, godly nature, but now he had a sinful nature. He would sin regardless of what took place by birth. Now, when God sent His Son needed two things. Number one, He needed a human body. I'll tell you about that in a few minutes. And number two, He did not need a sinful nature, but He needed a godly nature. Now, Adam was the first holy thing, and he came about by a miracle. No father and no mother. God took the dust of the ground and just made Himself a holy thing. Now, Eve was the second holy thing that God ever made, and she came about by a miracle. No earthly mother, but she did get a rib of Adam. She was made from him, so in a sense, she had a father, but no mother. Now, the third miracle that brought forth a holy thing took place in Bethlehem, and here you have no earthly father, but you got an earthly mother. The first, no father, no mother. The second, no mother. The third, no father. Now, why I say this one is not true, if you accept all others. Three great miracles in the Bible bringing forth three holy things. But Adam and Eve sinned and they're no longer holy. And their offsprings all inherit a sinful nature and they are therefore unholy. Now, God could have made Jesus a new physical body just like He did Adam, took some dirt and whoop, made it up and said, there it is, there's your new body. But that wouldn't work. That's no good. I'll tell you why. Jesus needed to know the kind of body that fallen man lived in. He needed to walk and he needed to experience the feelings that you and I feel as a result of being born with a sinful nature. Jesus hungered. Adam never did. He thirsted. He suffered. He wept. He understood pain. You only do that, brethren, if you have a body like you and I have. Adam never did any of those things. Jesus had a physical body just like we do. A body that was subject to all the aches, pains, miseries, problems, trials, sickness, sadness, and weaknesses just like our body. He got tired just like we get tired. Now, Jesus needed a body that could die. Follow me now. Had Adam and Eve sinned, their bodies could never have died. For sin produces death, and the wages of sin is death. Had Jesus been born holy, and had His body been like that of Adam, Jesus could never have died. He was immune to death. Because sin is the only thing that brings about death. So Jesus had to have a body that could die. Now God solved that problem by the virgin birth upon Mary. Number one, He gave unto Jesus a human body with all of its problems. Jesus had to grow up, go to school. That's right, young people. Go to school, do homework, learn right. Do right, do this, just like everybody else did. But by the virgin birth, not did He just get a body like ours, but He also got a divine nature. He got the nature that was given Adam before He ever fell. That made Him, you see, different. He no longer had the sinful desires that we're born with, but He had the body that reaps the consequences of all the sin around the world. When Jesus got hit, it hurt Him just as much as you and I hurt when we get hit. Now you see, the moral image of God was placed upon Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit's creation at the virgin birth. And had Jesus been born by natural means, He would have inherited the sinful nature from the birth of Mary, just like you and I inherited from our mothers and daddies. He would have been in the same boat we're in. And had Jesus ever sinned, brethren, he would have been just as lost as you and I are. And he cannot be a Savior if he himself would have sinned. Christ was holy in disposition. He was holy in thought. He was holy in speech. He was holy in outlook. And he was holy in conduct. Look at 1 John 3:5. Christ was manifested. Christ came to this earth for one basic reason. What was it? To take away what? Sin. Because in Him there is no sin. Jesus played and worked with sinners, but He never picked up their ways. Jesus was around those in society that were very bad, but never was He influenced to be bad like the society. He lived, He walked, and He remained holy. I don't understand how it's possible because I don't have a holy nature. I could never do what Jesus did. I don't see how it's possible for anybody to live without one single sin in all their life, in thought, word, and deed, night and day. I don't see how it's not possible for me. But I am not a holy child. I am born with the corrupt nature of my mother and daddy, just like you are. Now, the holy likeness that Adam had to God was lost when Adam fell, but it was restored in Jesus when He was born in a virgin, and He didn't lose it. Adam lost it, Jesus didn't. Now, I want to close with one more miracle birth in the Bible. One more miracle birth. This one requires a father and no mother. It's another one. John 1, 12 and 13. John 1, 12 and 13. As many as received Christ, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but they were born of God. Now we're talking about another kind of birth altogether. And that's where we come in. Look at your word, John 3:6. Today there is a birth available to people. And I don't have time to tell you all the benefits of it. But that birth is performed by the same person that performed the virgin birth upon Jesus. And I might add, brethren, it does the same thing to you if you ever get a hold of it. You follow me now. 3:6 says in John, that which is born of the flesh is going to be just like the flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit, notice the birth comes from that same Holy Spirit that gave Him to His birth to Jesus. There was a miracle wrought with Mary, and there is a miracle wrought with you and me today if we want it. And what happens when Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit produce that new birth within a person today? They are made holy. They are made a child of God, not just a child of God. They are made a holy child of God. So how is that possible? Because Jesus Christ has taken away their sins. If I have no sins, because they have all been taken by Jesus, then I'm holy. I didn't make myself holy. But Jesus came, and in the new birth, forgives me of my sins, removes my sins, and if they have been taken away, then I'm left holy. I'm left clean. And that's where salvation comes in. We are made a holy child. The nature of fallen man that I inherited from my mother and daddy is in three parts of me. It's in my body, we call it the flesh. It's in my soul, and it's in my spirit. There are three parts to man. But when I gain that new birth from Jesus through the Holy Spirit, two parts of me come alive. Two parts of me are born again. Two parts of me are made holy. My spirit and my soul on the inside become holy. A holy child of God. Not only that, but God's own divine nature is in place within my soul and my spirit. And I am the spitting image of Jesus on the inside. Now, the flesh is a different story. But there is a part of me that inherits the divine nature, and I am made a holy child just like Adam and just like Jesus. Christ restores the holy image back in those that surrender their lives to Him and make Him their Lord and their Savior. What does Jesus want to get out of salvation? Why does Jesus want to save you? Have you ever thought about that? What is His great ambition? It's just simply this, to make for the Father another holy child. That is God the Father's ambition. Not just to save us from hell. Not just to pass out wonderful gifts. But to make us holy unto the Lord. We talk today a lot about the abundant life. You know what the abundant life is? It's a life of holiness. If you want to know what the abundant life is. That's the only kind of life that a non-Christian can't live. A holy life. And I think a lot of us get excited over all the facets of the Christian life but one. Really now. We get excited over all things the Lord can do but one thing, and that is making us holy. And the first thing that God wants to do with His children is to make them holy, and it's the last thing we won't let Him do. We say, I want to be happy, and I want to be healthy, and I want to be free. But how many of us ever say in our prayers, God, make me holy? We say, make us wealthy, make us healthy, make us wise, make us comfortable, make us everything else. But Jesus said, I want to make you holy. Holy, holy! You know, we don't get too interested about that. But that's why Jesus was born, that's why He died, that's why He tries to live within us, that's what the Holy Spirit's great ambition is, that we might be holy. A holy child. I want to close with one verse, Titus 2:14. Titus 2:14. You tell people that God wants to make them a holy child, they don't get too interested in being God's child, but that's what He wants. Alright, Titus 2:14. Christ gave Himself, died on the cross, the Holy Child died, sinners were given a chance to be saved. Christ took their sins, though He Himself had none, gave Himself for us. For what reason? There are two reasons, primarily, that Christ did this. Number one, that He might redeem you from all iniquity, that He might clean you up, take out the old sinful nature, that He might purify you, take away all your past sins, and forgive you of them. What's the second reason? That Jesus saved us. To redeem us from hell and from sin and what else? To purify. Purify unto Himself a peculiar people. What is a Christian's peculiarity? Being holy. Being holy. Zealous of good works. That's God's ambition. Number one, to save you. And number two, to sanctify you. To save you and make you holy. Christ was born the holy child. If you this morning belong to Jesus Christ, you were born to be the same thing. The same thing. And the Holy Spirit lives in you to pull off that miracle, to make you live and walk day by day in the Spirit to be a holy child. To be like Jesus. That's what the Father wants. We give you thanks today. This is possible for each of us. God, may we realize that there is available this day the new nature. It operates in our life. And may we give unto Thee again the opportunity
to make us holy. In conversation, in thought, in word, in deed, may this life within us begin to control us. Father, we give Thee thanks again this morning for the privilege we have to experience a birth that makes us God's child, a miracle birth without physical mother or daddy. And Father, if there is one this morning that has never known this kind of birth, all they know about is mamas and daddies, God, may they realize this birth is available to them, and by this birth they are made God's child. We ask that You compel them, speak with them, work with them, love them, and have them accept You as their Lord and their Savior to gain this new birth. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.
Our closing hymn this morning will be number 375. We'll stand and sing the first and last verse. There may be someone who's never known the second birth, never known what it is to be a child of God. You have your chance this morning just by accepting Christ, the living Lord and the living Savior.